One of Jesus' promises to us is that in this world we will have trials, tribulation. Dave Harvey says that's true for our marriage as well.
Suffering is remarkably disruptive to a marriage. And a lot of times we don't get that. And we don't see that God, you know, doesn't just kind of allow this as if he doesn't control this. But there is a loving God that introduces these things because he wants to do a work that can only be achieved in this manner.
This is Family Life Today. Our hosts are Dave and Ann Wilson. I'm Bob Lapine. You'll find us online at familylifetoday.com. Have you stopped to think about how seasons of difficulty, seasons of suffering, have impacted your relationship as a couple in marriage? We'll explore that today with our guest, Dave Harvey. Stay with us. And welcome to Family Life Today. Thanks for joining us. I have to tell you guys, when I picked up a copy of Dave Harvey's new book called I Still Do, and I saw the subtitle, which is Growing Closer and Stronger Through Life's Defining Moments, I thought of you, because we've all had defining moments. Your book, Vertical Marriage, is about a lot of those defining moments in your marriage. And I think all of us can look back and go, there have been landmark moments in our lives, in our marriage, that have reshaped us and made us think differently about who we are and about how we interact with one another.
And often those moments are hard.
Yeah.
They're not the... I mean, they can be mountaintop moments, but they're often very difficult. You know, Bob, you've heard us say... When that moment on our 10-year anniversary, when Ann said, I've lost my feelings for you, and we started to walk into that, I remember consciously thinking, no one will ever hear this story.
Yeah.
This is going to be a private little, hopefully we get through it, moment in our life that we'll just keep to ourselves. Mm-hmm. And yet God shows up, and it's like, there's a lot of people that have this moment, and they need to see where God can meet them and those, take them through it.
And those moments are like forks in a path, like which way will you go?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we're all faced with those, and it's not easy. But we do remember those defining moments because they change us.
Well, and I've said to people for years, I've said, look back at your life and ask yourself this question. Times of accelerated spiritual growth. Have they been times when everything was going really well and when God was blessing you and there was abundance, or have they been times when you have been in the valley, when you've been fighting, when there's been hard times? Everybody says, my growth is accelerated. So if your goal is to be more like Jesus, you're going to have to walk through hard times that are the sanding device that God uses to rub off the rough edges. Dave Harvey's joining us again on Family Life Today. Dave, welcome back.
It's great to be back, Bob.
Dave is an author. He is a speaker. He is a pastor for more than 30 years. He wrote a book a decade ago called When Sinners Say I Do, and wound up involved in our Art of Marriage video series, which if our listeners have been through that series, they benefited from Dave's contribution and his wisdom to that. Dave has written a new book on marriage called I Still Do, and it's all about defining moments. You've identified some of those paradigm moments that most of us go through in marriage and talked about the beginning part of our marriage and some of the common moments couples go through, the heart of the marriage relationship when we learn to stick together and become one, and then how we end well together.
Right.
Were you aware of defining moments in your own marriage? Was that what led you to kind of unpack some of this?
In part, yeah. The book is built around 11 specific defining moments, and I would say that many of them were defining moments that Kim and I experienced, and then others just in looking over people that we've had the privilege of counseling with or gotten to know over time. And, you know, I do marriage events and get to travel around and talk to people at those conferences and in the States and outside of the States, and just listening to how material is affecting people, listening to where people are. They begin to group up into these 11 defining moments.
I've shared before that one of the defining moments in our marriage, at least for me, was when we had moved. This was early in our marriage. We had moved from the city that Marianne had grown up in, where her family was. We were now living in Phoenix, Arizona. I was there with a new job. She was pregnant with our second child. It was summer in Phoenix. We had just moved into a house that she had not seen before I purchased it. which by the way, talk about a rookie mistake. And she was depressed. I mean, this was a season in her life where I would come home at the end of the day and I'd do everything I could to turn on my sparkle magic and try to bring joy and happiness into the household. And here's how I knew how bad it was. It was the summer of 84 and the Olympics were on and gymnastics were on, and she didn't want to watch gymnastics. And I'm like, something is really wrong with my wife if she doesn't want to watch Olympic gymnastics. If that, because she always delighted in watching these gymnasts perform. So I would say, you know, let's go out to eat tonight. And the reason I said that is because she hadn't been making any dinner. So if I was going to eat, we were going out. I remember one night being out in the backyard in our house in Phoenix, and I was just kicking dirt and kind of looking up at the stars and just talking to God. And I this thought hit my mind. I understand how people get to a point where they go, I don't want to be in this anymore. And I was saying, I'm not going to go there because biblically I can't, I belong to Christ. But I understand how you get there because this was not the life I wanted for me. And I'm thinking about that because one of the chapters, one of the defining moments you talk about in your book is when suffering visits a marriage. That can be physical suffering. It can be loss or grief that comes through illness or through the death of a loved one.
Or a bad decision by your husband.
Something like that.
To buy a house you should have never
bought. And you don't know that you're in a defining moment.
Right.
When you're in it, you're just kind of miserable or in angst.
Well, Dave, I'm looking at your first defining moment. The one right here. And I would have never known that when Ann yelled at me 6 months after we were married, like the third chapter of our book, marrying you was the worst decision of my life. We were in defining moment number one.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize it in that moment. I'm just like, yeah, you're right. What were we thinking? But defining moment number one is when you discover brokenness is broader than sin. I didn't know that at that moment, but we were dealing with that brokenness that we previously talked about. But let me ask you this. So when a couple hits that defining moment, how do they get through it from your perspective?
It, as Ann said, you're often not aware that you're in it. Mm. And so you feel like you're treading water. You don't have clear categories. You're not diagnosing yourself or your heart or often able to help your spouse. And so I think it can be really helpful at moments like that to be able to reach out beyond yourselves, to be able to get in trusted people, involve the pastor of your church. You know, one of the reasons why God has created the church is so that we can reach out and lean on them in times where we need perspective. We need something from outside of ourselves.
You're a pastor. You've written two books on marriage. You and Kim ever sat down and gotten marriage counseling?
We sit down and get marriage counseling all the time. Yes.
So this is, we kind of need to destigmatize the Absolutely. Need here for all of us to get this outside help and perspective, right?
Yeah, I think you make it more, you put it more in the category of just fellowship and doing the rhythm of life kind of thing. And
tune-ups.
And tune-ups is a great way to do it too and think about it. Yeah, so I think that when we consider that God has created us in such a way that we're not completely autonomous, that we don't have all that we need. And even when we pair up with somebody else in a marriage, it's not like we have within our marriage everything we need to succeed in our marriage, that we need God in a first and primary way, but also we need the community of people around us to be all that God has called us to be.
Well, if you sat down with a counselor and did what we previously talked about, if that person walked through the heart and this, and your body affecting that, your social systems, the dependence on God, I mean, all of that, that changes every. When you said that previously, it was like light bulb. Just step back and you start to look at your spouse and go, whoa, I thought it was all you. Yeah. And all of a sudden, I'm now realizing there's a lot more going on here.
Talk about when a marriage is in a season of suffering. You and Kim have been through seasons like this, right?
We have, yeah. And I think what intrigued me about the topic was that I've read so much rich material on the topic of suffering, but I had not encountered a lot of material on what to do when your spouse is suffering. So that's the defining moment is, you know, when your spouse suffers and how to position yourself in a way that's really going to be caring for them, loving them. I think recognizing the reality of what's happening because you stay married long enough and one of you are going to suffer. Mm-hmm. You stay married long enough and one of you is going to die first. You know, and in previous to death, there's oftentimes suffering that attends that. And so, you know, how we respond when our spouse suffers just says a lot about our understanding of marriage, our assumptions about life, our awareness of how God moves in a fallen world. There's a lot of things that map on to that. I've got a good friend right now, Lee, and his wife, Rhonda, and Lee has contracted ALS. He was a member of the church where I was pastoring, and he's just become a dear friend. So we were with Lee, you know, when he was hiking with his wife, and over the past 2 years, we've watched him as he has slowed down and then began to limp, and then, you know, he was on crutches, and then on a walker, and now in a wheelchair. And, you know, he knows he's readily declining. We're watching Lee's courage as he faces his suffering and the inevitable end of his suffering. And we're seeing this God-centeredness, this desire to ensure that his children are interpreting this experience in a way that has God's goodness in the picture. And then we're watching this remarkable wife who is caring for her husband in a way that is considering both body and soul. You know, so often it's reduced down to just fretting and becoming preoccupied with all the medical features of whatever's going on. But how they're praying together and how they're really looking to take this season as a way to continue to encounter God together and to finish well together. I mean, it just inspires me.
Wait, Bob. What happened? I'm kind of sitting on the edge of my seat with you and Marianne because she was suffering.
She was. And honestly, I didn't know what was my right response in the midst of her suffering. Like I said, I would try to cheer her up. But I didn't know, do I back off and give her space and let her process this herself? Do I try to be there? Do I get other people involved? I was kind of running through what my options were, and none of them seemed to be working to help her in this situation. And Dave, I think that's one of the issues that we face when a spouse is suffering. It affects us. It affects our own mood, because to see a loved one suffer is emotionally difficult for us. It adjusts our life. You talk about Rhonda, and she's had to make significant life adjustments, and now all of a sudden, life can't go on the way it was going on before. She has her own fears she's facing in the midst of this, and she's trying to be a loving, godly wife to her husband, who is suffering maybe at a more profound level. I don't know that I'd even say that. I mean, he's suffering in a profound way, too. This is a season in a marriage where often we find ourselves like I was in the backyard. We don't know where to turn. We're just crying out to God and saying, God, I don't know what to do. If you don't show up, I don't have the strength left to sustain myself during this season.
Yeah, because you begin to experience the kind of suffering that just can't readily be fixed and is going to perhaps play out over time, or is not easily defined or diagnosed. What's going on? I don't know. Why do I feel this way? Or maybe it is diagnosed, but it can't be fixed. I mean, that impulse, that human impulse to want to fix your spouse's suffering because you love them or because you're frightened at what's happening to them.
And you also see how it's affecting your children.
Yes.
So then you're even in more turmoil of wanting to fix it.
Mm-hmm. That's right. You want peace. You want things to return to the way they were. And so suffering is remarkably disruptive to a marriage. And a lot of times we don't get that. And we don't see that God, you know, doesn't just kind of allow this as if he doesn't control this. But there is a loving God that introduces these things because he wants to do a work that can only be achieved in this manner. And those turn out to be beautiful things, regardless of the outcome. Those become beautiful things to the soul and prepare us for eternity.
So if you're sitting with a husband or a wife today and they would say, my spouse is in a season of suffering and I want to be a good husband, be a good wife, I don't know whether to back off or to move in, I don't know
what to do. What's your counsel to somebody in that situation?
Well, I'd say, are you listening to them? Mm. You know, are you asking questions about where they are and listening carefully to how they respond? I think it's so easy to kind of import our fears into the person that's suffering or how we would deal with it and begin to relate to them out of that. But we really have to allow the reality of where they are to be defined by them, listen carefully, and then begin to care in response to that. So the listening thing is huge. Yeah. Because it really does create an environment where a suffering spouse is able to say, okay, I know that we don't understand exactly what's going on, but he gets me. Mm. She gets me. She understands where this is.
Oh, this is big. Because I'm recalling a few months ago when I had just come home from visiting my parents. When I come home, there's a part of me that's grieving. I'm sad about an era that is gone. And so I come home with Dave, and we've got an event to speak at that night. Mm. I told Dave, my heart just hurts. I'm sitting here. I can't even think about this.
I'm not making a comment because this spouse didn't suffer well with his wife.
You didn't do well here, huh?
I didn't do
kind
well.
Kind of like me buying a house without my wife seeing it.
Yeah.
He said, we have an event tonight. You need to get it together. Those were the words. And that did not fly very well with me.
No. You know, the listening part, I'm thinking of when Job's friends ministered to him most. Mm-hmm. It's when they kept their mouth shut.
Yeah.
And when things start to go south with Job and his friends is when they start offering advice.
And Job's wife.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Who's totally cynical.
Uh-huh. Curse God and die. My MO in our situation was, well, I want to fix it. And so I was trying to marshal all my energy to get Marianne fixed. I wasn't listening. I was just trying to kind of snap out of it, you know, let's get on with life. This is inconvenient for me. The other mistake I think we often make in the midst of suffering is to separate, to isolate, mm-hmm. and to step out of oneness. And in that isolation, our hearts start to grow cold and apart from one another. And so I think your point about presence and listening, Dave, I think these are huge. When your spouse is going through that time, you need to say, I'm here. I'm not going anywhere, and I want to hear what's going on in your heart and soul. And you asked me what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, time happened. Ultimately, there wasn't a breakthrough moment. There wasn't a thing where I said this and everything got fixed, or where this circumstance shifted and that fixed everything. Ultimately, the fog lifted. She kind of woke back up and came out of the grief that she was in from all the disruption in her life. And started to come back around. And it was gradual and happened over time. But again, presence and listening are how you get through that season. And we had conversations later about, are there things I could have done that would have been more helpful? And she said, no.
She needed time.
I just needed the time to grieve and to go through and to do the processing I was going through. And then to get out of the pity party that I was in and recognize God's in control and his providential care is at work here and I need to be responding to him. And sometimes, you know, my season of that was maybe a month or two. Some couples go through seasons of suffering that last for years, and that's hard on a marriage when that happens.
One of the things I admire about some of the people that I've seen suffer is that they refuse to allow the suffering to define the totality of their relationship, or they refuse to allow it to define who they're going to be in the community. Like I tell a story in the book of a guy whose wife had a chronic kidney problem, a guy named Scott. His wife's Jeannie. Jeannie had a chronic kidney problem. They're from Canada. They're flying through the United States back from an event. As they're landing in Denver at their connecting flight to get back to Canada, she ends up collapsing on the flight, and they arrive in Denver, and the doctors say, listen, you can't leave. You have to stay. She can't fly for a long time. And so they basically have to live in Denver. They're not from Canada, but they're living in Canada. They have a mortgage up in Canada. They just find a place. They live there. And after a few months, there's people there that know them. They say, hey, he's a pastor. Why don't you start a Bible study? He starts a Bible study. The Bible study grows. She's at home praying as she's suffering, but she's praying. Eventually, they ask him, hey, you know, it seems like there's a lot of people coming to this. Maybe we should start a church. So he starts a church. And then 3 months later, they're given a building. A year after that whole experience, he and his wife are eventually stabilized enough that they can fly back to Canada. There's a church, a building, and a lead pastor that's in existence to this day. My point being is that Scott and Jeannie realize that because of her suffering, you know, there was some good that was able to come out of it, and they're able to celebrate that. Now, we don't always see that in real time. You know, you don't always have that story to point back to. But they understand that this was why God had parked them in Denver, that to plant a church in a layover city.
It's almost as if God took their eyes off of themselves and their circumstances, and they lifted their eyes to God and said, God, what do you have for us? What do you want to do? What do you want right now? That's hard to do when you're in the midst of it.
If that was me in Denver, I'm like, I'm tucking in. I'm with Kim. I don't want to see anybody,
right.
You know.
Well, and think we talked about Job's wife's response to the suffering that they were going through, which was cynical, curse God and die. And what's Job's response? That's the model response for us in the seasons of suffering, whether it's us or our spouse.
And I will say this about my husband, Dave.
Oh, boy.
We had that conversation where he's like, you need to get yourself together because we have an event. Well, I kind of left the room like, okay, I'm out of here. But he came back in. He came to me and he said, I am so sorry. That's got to be really hard. And he just kind of hugged me, held me, said this event isn't nearly as important as that. And it's so funny, just those few words just melted my heart, and it's exactly what I needed, which then I was like, all right, I'm ready to go, but I needed to talk about it. I needed him to be compassionate. And sometimes just listening and holding, that means a lot.
It's Christ-like. Hebrews 4, he sympathizes with us in our weakness. Mm-hmm. And there's something beautiful where we encounter God in moments like that.
And I don't know if he felt it. He might have faked it, but it still felt really good.
No, I'm sitting right here.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. He did feel it.
I mean, it was one of those, and I would say to every husband or wife right now, if your spouse is suffering, go in the other room, quiet yourself and say, God, what do you want me to do?
Yeah.
And that's what I did. And it was like, God said, I've been there for you every time. You need to be there for her. She's going through something hard right now. This event is just an event. This is your wife. Love her.
You don't always feel it.
Yeah.
Sometimes
no.
You're just right. Obeying. You're
yeah.
doing what
exactly.
Scripture says
right.
you should do because
right.
God will honor that.
Mm. Right.
Well, I hope if couples are in one of these defining moments of a season of suffering, that listening and having compassion and empathy and being able to say, I'm here and I care and I know this is hard, I hope this can become a part of the regular rhythm of their marriage during this season because God will meet them in the middle of that. You cover this beautifully in your book, Dave. In fact, I'm thinking couples who are in this season right now would really benefit from getting a copy of your new book, I Still Do, which is a book we've got in our Family Life Today Resource Center. Or if you know couples who are going through a difficult season, get them a copy of Dave Harvey's book and give it to them as a gift. The book is called I Still Do, Growing Closer and Stronger Through Life's Defining Moments. It's written by Dave Harvey. You can order it from us online at familylifetoday.com, or you can call to order. 1-800-FL-TODAY is the number. Again, our website is familylifetoday.com. The number to call if you'd like to order the book from us is 1-800-358-6329. That's 1-800 F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today. You know, this subject hits home for a lot of us, especially in this season when there has been increased fear and anxiety. I think all of us were a little bit blindsided by the coronavirus when it appeared back a few months ago. And I don't think any of us imagined that there would be people losing jobs or friends who are infected by this virus, that it would be life-threatening for some. This has been a season of national suffering. And you need to know that we've had people reaching out to us more during this season, looking for resources, for help, for hope, for their marriage and their family. People going online, accessing articles and podcasts that are available, people tuning into this program. This is a season when all of us have been coming back to what matters most, our relationship with God, our relationships with one another and our marriage and our family, and then how we love our neighbors well. And that's what our focus has been here at Family Life Today. I want to thank those of you who have been able to continue your ongoing support of this ministry during these challenging times. In fact, I know some of you have been more generous during this season, recognizing that there are others who can't help right now. You have increased your giving, and we're so grateful for that. This is a challenging time for all of us, including for us here at Family Life Today. So please continue to pray for us. And as you're able to help, please be as generous as you can possibly be. You can donate to support the ministry of Family Life Today by going online to familylifetoday.com, or you can donate by calling 1-800-FL-TODAY. If you can't donate today, would you please pray for us? And just pray that God would sustain us during this difficult season. We appreciate your prayers and, of course, appreciate your financial support as well. And we hope you can join us again tomorrow. We're going to talk about how important it is to have a vision for your marriage for that season when the kids are gone. We need to be investing now in our marriage so that in that season, our marriage can flourish. Dave Harvey will be with us to talk about that tomorrow. Hope you can be with us as well. I want to thank our engineer today, Keith Lynch, along with our entire broadcast production team. On behalf of our hosts, Dave and Ann Wilson, I'm Bob Lapine. We'll see you back tomorrow for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a production of Family Life of Little Rock, Arkansas, a CREW ministry. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.